Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. So glad to be with you again this morning. Hope all of you had a good week. I tell you, we had some rain last weekend, didn't we? I know somebody said they got about 2 inches last weekend, but I hope you had a great week. We hope all of you are doing well. It's such a joy to be with you again today. Now today, last week, as I told you, we had baptism. We talked about that putting off and putting on, and this morning, we're trying to gear up before our revival. Now, our revival starts on the 30th. We want to invite you to come and be a part of that if you can. I know some of you are shut in and not able to come. Some of you listening this morning may be sick, and I hope maybe you'll be well by then. But we'd love to have you come and be a part of our revival. It'll start next Sunday morning on the 30th, and it'll go through Wednesday night, 7 o'clock each night. We wouldn't ask you to miss your church. But come on Monday and Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. We have Brother Gene Douglas, who used to be pastor at West Macomb some years ago. I followed him. Been about 22 years since he was here, but we've had him in revival since. He's full-time evangelist, and we're just looking forward to working with him again. Our own Hunter Wooldridge, who preached for you about a month ago, shared the word with you while we were out, and he's going to be doing our music. So we're looking forward to a great week. On that Sunday, we will have a great family day after the morning worship service after 12. We'll have hamburger, hot dogs. We invite you to come out and eat with us. Like I said, I wouldn't ask you to miss your church, but we're going to have fun games and stuff for the children, and we'll just have an afternoon of great fun and family as we kick off our revival. So we hope you'll be praying about that. So this morning, we're going to be looking at revival, the time to deal with sin. Revival. It's the time to do what? To deal with our sin. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity once again to come and to share your word over this radio station. We thank you once again for that great privilege that we do have, Lord, that you've allowed us to do that, and that we would have the funds to be able to do that. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning we'll never take that for granted, but that, Lord, we'll always exercise our right of free speech, of being able to preach your word. And so, Lord, I pray your blessings upon the reading of your word today. I pray, Lord, that you will cleanse me of my sin, and, Lord, help me to deal with the sin in my life. That, Lord, that we can truly experience revival, even this morning, that it will begin right here on this radio station. So, Lord, I pray that you give me clean hands and a pure heart today. Give me a clear mind that I can proclaim the word in a way that it will be understood. We pray for the listeners, those that may be sick this morning, not able to get out of the church. Lord, we pray for their restored health. We pray for the shut-ins, that you'll comfort them, Lord, as they're stuck there at home. We pray for those that may be traveling, that you give them traveling graces today to and from wherever they may be going. But bless all of your churches today as they gather in your house on your day. And Lord, being your people, so speak to us now. Forgive us any way we may fail you in it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. This morning we're going to just read a very familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to add a little few verses to it. But we want to look at Romans chapter 3. We're going to read verses 21 through 25. And then we'll look at Romans 6, 23. And I think all of you probably can quote Romans 3, 23 and 6, 23. But let's just read what he says here. It's Paul writing to the church at Rome as we think about revival, a time to deal with sin. So listen to what he says. He says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation from faith through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins and that are passed through the forbearance of God." And then Romans 6:23, "For the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life." And who is that through? As we just read, that propitiation through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Isn't that great to know this morning that we can have eternal life, that even though that wages of sin is death? So we're going to look at that just a few moments this morning. We're going to think about dealing with our sins during revival time. You know, seeing, as we just seen in these verses that we read, that what did it say? It said it doesn't make any difference who we are, that for all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That God, through His Son Jesus Christ, He gives us remission. He redeems us from our sin, no matter who we are. He said, you two, they were under the law. The Jews were under the law. That's how they knew what sin was. But you know, sin goes much further than just keeping a bunch of laws. Sin goes much further than just being keeping a set of rules. Sin is much deeper than that. And sin dwells in every one of us, and it is a universal problem. And for that reason, we live in a sinful world around sinful people, and for that reason, we have what? Locks on our doors. You don't get out of your car without locking your car, do you? You know, I told my wife the other day we was getting out. She said, just hand me my billfold out of my purse. I'll just leave my purse in the car. And I said, well, you going to put it in the trunk where can't nobody see it. Isn't that a shame? You know, we can't leave anything unlocked. That's the reason, you know, we have police officers. That's the reason we have laws. It's because sin and people are of that sinful nature. And every one of us are that way. That is the reason that we have prisons and things like that to incarcerate people in jail, is because man is of that sinful nature. And we know it all started with Adam and Eve, didn't it? Actually, it even went back. You remember I preached a sermon, hadn't been too many months ago, about, well, just call it what it is, call it sin. And we talked about the origin of sin and where sin originated. But where did it really originate at? It really originated all the way back to when old Lucifer was thrown out of heaven, right? In Isaiah chapter 14, I believe it is, where he's cast out of heaven because he said what? I'm good as God. I'm going to be God. I'm greater than God. I'm going to set up my throne. I'm going to be him. And God said, man, you just don't know. And old Lucifer was the most beautiful angel, the best angel, and God cast him out. And Jesus even said what? I saw Satan. I saw old Lucifer falling like lightning out of heaven when he was cast out. So it even began even there with angels in heaven. So it passed through all men. And so all of us are sinful. All of us have faced sin. All of us have sin in our lives. And so revival is a time that we can come and we can deal with whatever sin that we may have in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen a big correlation between churches not having revival and the way our nation is going. Think about that just a minute. You know, I can remember even we had, when I first came here at West Macomb, we had week-long revivals. I can remember back as a kid that we'd have week-long revivals. It wasn't a question whether you're going to have a week-long revival or not. And you would have not only that, but if you got to the end of that first week and if God was working a mighty work, what would you do? You'd extend that revival. And I know Brother Gene was in a revival not long ago that they extended for a day or two because God was working. But we see that less and less and less churches are having revivals today. We see that, I talk to Brother Gene and Brother Gary Boland and others, great evangelists here in our area, and they'll tell you that less churches are having revival. It seems like that the revivals that they're going to is not new places. It's churches where they've already been year after year after year, churches that are continuing. But so many churches are not having revival any longer. They don't see the need for it. And as we see a lack of revival meetings happening in our nation, guess what? We see more and more and more sin and corruption. And we see our nation falling apart because we need those revivals. We need revival. If we're going to have our nation turn back to God, then more and more churches are going to have revival. Because it is during that week, during that time of revival, that we see that we try to bring more people in and get closer to God and try to deal with that sin that we may have in our lives. So this morning, I want us to think about that just a moment. I want us to think about what revival is all about, how that revival is a time of dealing with sin. So how does a revival deal with sin? Well, the first thing I want us to think about is a lot of times revival is revealing. Revival is revealing. Number two is revival is a warning. It's a special warning time. It's a time of sounding the alarm. And then revival is not deceiving. Revivals are not deceiving, or at least should not be deceiving. So let's think about those things this morning. as we think about our revival coming up next week, as we're thinking about that week that we'll spend in worshiping the Lord and looking to Him and seeing what God will do in a mighty way. So let's look at the first one. We talked about how that revival is revealing, that it can reveal things. You know, revival is a time that hopefully that more people will come and to the house of the Lord, that Christian people will be busier about bringing people in to the house of the Lord that are lost. But you know, when you look at the word revival itself, it means to bring back to life, doesn't it? So actually, revival is meant to be for what? For the Christian person. He who has accepted Christ, and for whatever reason, maybe they have backslidden, what we call backslidden. Maybe they have strayed from the Lord a little. Maybe they have turned away from Him in some way or another. And they need that to be revealed unto them. They need to be told that. They need to be shown that. And revival is a time that we are to do that. And so it's very revealing. In Luke chapter 12, verse 2, what does it say? For there is nothing that is covered that shall not be revealed, neither is there anything hid that shall not be made known. And he was talking about the Pharisees and their false religions and the things that they had. And you know, they would try to cover this up and that up, and they would do what? They were called what? On the outside, they were cups that were clean, and on the inside, they were dirty. They were like sepulchres that had been what? Whitewashed on the outside, but on the inside, they were dirty. He said, all these things will be revealed. It's a time that we seek the Lord, that He will reveal to us really what sin is in our lives. You know, so many times we can get so much in the habit of just going to church and doing the things that we oftentimes just kind of forget how sinful we really are, how that we all are sinners, how that we all do fall short of the glory of God. And we forget what sin is all about and how sin affects our lives in so many different ways. And that's the reason that I said we preach that message on just call it sin. So revival is a time that it is revealed to us what sin is. The preacher gets up and hopefully preaches. You know, you remember them old hellfire and brimstone sermons. You know, isn't it a shame that we don't hear many more of them? I mean, I've seen a preacher one time. He was preaching on that hellfire and brimstone, and he got to spitting and sputtering and sweating, and finally he just stopped and he said, I tell you what, y'all may think I'm crazy, but I got sense enough to take my coat off when I get hot. And he took his coat off and tied, went on to preaching, you know, because it was just one of them great sermons about sin and revealing to people about what sin is. And we forget that sin, we don't have to go out and commit some murder. We don't have to go out and rob the bank to be sinners. Sinners is just unrighteousness, is what the Bible said. If it's not righteousness of God, if it's just unrighteousness, in 1 John 5:17, he says all unrighteousness is what? Is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. If we know to do that good and if we don't do it, James says, that's sin. So, you know, it don't have to be some mass murder or something like that. In Romans 14:23, he says that if it's not of faith, it is sin. If we doubt about things in our lives, then it is sin. So, you know, that revival time is a time to remind us of those things. That just because we're not incarcerated, just because maybe we hadn't been arrested, because we hadn't committed some heinous crime, he says, you know, you got to remember, we are all still sinners. And we need reviving. We need reviving. We need God to speak to our hearts. Because if we just neglected to do something that we know that we should do, if we're just not living righteous life in one way, all unrighteousness is sin. And it's time to deal with those sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. So first he says, examine yourself. You know, revival is that time of revealing that we see the reflection of ourself in the Word of God. I know Brother Gene is going to preach the Word of God. There's no doubt in my mind that when he comes, that he'll be full of the Spirit and he'll preach the Word of God. I know that Brother Hunter has already been seeking the Lord and getting the music together, and it will be music that will help us reveal unto us our sins. Yeah, I've had a lot of people who have told me, I got saved by a song. You know, it was because of that song. That song revealed unto me my lostness. That song revealed unto me. I saw the reflection of myself in that song. And that's the way it should be. It should be things that point us, that help us to examine ourselves. And revival is that time of examining ourselves and we being revealed unto us what we need to change in our lives and what we need to make different in our lives. And what did he say? Examine yourselves to see whether what you be in the faith. Prove yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you. Let me ask you a question. If you were on trial this morning, you heard this old question. If you were on trial this morning, is there enough for being a Christian? Will there be enough evidence against you to have you arrested and have you sent to jail? Would it? Would there be enough evidence against you of being a Christian that you could actually be convicted of that crime if it were a crime? You know, so many Christians, so many people that call themselves Christians, I'm afraid they hadn't examined themselves. I'm afraid they can't prove themselves. I'm afraid that if they were to be carried to trial today about whether or not they were a Christian, I'm afraid so many of them, there would not be enough evidence to even get an indictment. I mean, it wouldn't even be indicted. They say there's not enough evidence to waste our time to carry this to court. We had a young man one time that came to our community, and he actually was there with my sister. A friend of them came from China, and when he came as an exchange student, they had warned him, and they had told him, said, "Now look, you're going to run into a lot of Christians when you get to America. You're going to run into a lot of Christians." And he made a statement to my sister that really just slapped all of us in the face. This is what he said. He said, "I was warned and I was told I'd see a lot of Christians when I came to America. But you know, I don't know if I've met one yet." Oh, brothers and sisters. I mean, we're a Christian family. I'm a preacher. My sister plays the piano. My brother-in-law, a minister of music. You know, here we are in a Christian community. And this young man comes to stay in our community. But then he says, "But I don't know if I've seen a Christian yet." Well, I don't know what their definition of a Christian was that he told them in China. But brother and sister, what a slap in our face to think about, is there enough evidence? Revival is a time to reveal unto us, is there enough evidence that I could be convicted of being a Christian? Do I really understand what sin is? Do I think, well, just because I hadn't committed some heinous crime, that I'm not a sinner? But we all have sinned. We all have come short of the glory of God. Well, let's look at the second thing. When we think about revival, it's a time of warning. It's a time of warning. It's a time that we come and the preacher preaches, and hopefully he warns us. He warns us about a lot of different things. He warns us maybe that we are sinners and that the wages of that sin is death, that we're going to die without Christ. He warns us that we're living in those last times, in those last days, that Jesus could come back at any time. It's a reminder, it's a warner, warning time. You know, the Bible says very plain that we are watchmen, and that if we watch and if the enemy comes and if we do not sound the alarm and the enemy comes in and destroys our village, then what did he say? Then the blood is on our hands because we did not sound the warning. But he says, but if we sound the warning, if we see the enemy coming and we sound the warning, and yet the village takes no notice of it, and they don't change, and they don't do anything, then what did he say? And they come in and they destroy them, then it says the blood's on their hands because we sound the warning. You know, revival is a time of sounding the warning. And I know there's a lot of people who will come through our doors, I hope, during that weekend of revival. I hope there'll be a lot of people here. But you know, there's going to be a lot of them who's going to walk right back out that door. And they're not going to heed the warnings. They're not going to listen to the warnings that they're going to hear. And it's going to be whether or not we truly have that revealing time. It's going to be whether we really have that revival time or not. It's going to be whether we really come to seek the Lord, to examine ourselves and see that you know, we have to confess those sins. We have to repent of those sins and deal with that sin during this revival time, that if we don't, the wages of that sin is death. In Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, what did it say? He says, "But what? Do you not know that what? Your sins shall find you out." You can be sure of one thing. Your sins will find you out. If you don't do these things, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now, what was he talking about here? I know I just take that verse right out of the Old Testament, and you may be wondering what it's all about. Well, you notice when the Israelite people are getting ready to go over into the promised land, and they're getting ready to cross on over. And there was two of the tribes that said, what? Well, we like it right here. We got a lot of cows. There's a lot of water. There's a lot of grass right here. And we just soon stay right here. We don't want to go no further. So Moses goes to them and said, look, wait a minute. We made a covenant that we would all go into that promised land. And we need you to go into that promised land with us. We need you strong men to help us to win these battles. And you have made this commitment, and you need to go with us. You need to go with us. And so what did they say? Well, okay, we'll do that. We'll go and we'll fight with you. We're going to leave our children and our wives here and our stuff, but we'll go and we'll fight with you and help you take that, and then we'll come back. And then that's when Moses looks at him and said, well, you know that if you don't do this, then you've sinned against the Lord, and your sin will surely find you out. Isn't that something? Your sin will truly find you out. How many times have we seen people who thought they could hide their sins? I mean, we go back even to that original sin in the Garden of Eden. And as I said at the beginning, it all started back with that old devil, with old Satan himself. But we see in that Garden of Eden what happens. We see that Adam and Eve fall under that temptation of the old devil. And when they fall under that temptation of the old devil, they sinned and they ate of that tree. They had a wonderful relationship with God. But because of that sin, what happened? It broke that relationship, didn't it? God had been coming and walking with them and talking with them in the cool of the evening. He shows up like he always did, and Adam and Eve are nowhere to be found. And you know, you've heard the story. God calls out to them and says, where are you at? Where art thou? Where are you at? And what did they say? Well, we over here hid. We over here hid. Well, you know, God knew exactly where they were at. God knows exactly where you're at this morning. He knows exactly where you're at this morning. You can't cover up your sin. Whatever what? What did we just read? What did we just read? All that's covered up will be revealed. You can't hide it. You can't cover it up. You can't deny it. You got to deal with it. And what did God say? He said, Adam, why are you hiding? And what did Adam say? Well, we're naked. And God said, well, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of that tree? Have you eaten of that tree? Have you eaten of it that I told you not to, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? God knew exactly where they were at. See, listen to me. Your sins will find you out. And Adam and Eve knew they had sinned. And because of that sin, they tried to hide it. And God had to do what? He had to kill the first animal and make skins for them to cover up themselves. And then what did they do? I mean, some people, they won't give it up, will they? Then what did they do? They start blaming on each other. Well, it was that woman you gave me. And then that woman, well, it was that serpent. And you know, Adam even almost blames it on God. Well, you gave her to me. I mean, isn't that exactly how people do? Your sins will find you out. You can't just deny them. You can't try to cover them up. I mean, you've got to acknowledge those sins. You've got to repent of those sins. You can't just pass the buck off to somebody else. Well, it's society. Society did it to me. Well, I had a bad home life. Well, you know, I'm poor. I don't have any money. Let me tell you something. Some of the most godly people I know didn't have two quarters rubbed together. But they were godly people. We all are sinners. We all need to come to the Lord. And our sins will not stay covered up. They will come to find us out. We think about old David with his sin with Bathsheba and all the sins that he committed in that one act. Do you see how sin grows? See how sin can destroy a life? I mean, it starts out with that lust, the lust of the eye, the lust of the heart, then the taking. And he takes Bathsheba and he commits adultery with her. And then that sin just continues to grow. Then he has her husband, Uriah, sent to the front line and has him murdered. Then he lies about it all, you know, and he thinks he's showing to him how good of a man he is. I'll take his wife in to my home since he got killed. All a cover up. but his sins found him out. Nathan, that prophet, shaked his finger in his hand and his finger in his face and said, David, you are the man. And I mean, he paid for those sins. Because see, our sins will find us out. That's the reason we have revival, so that we can deal with those sins, so that we can repent of those sins, so that we can get rid of those sins before they find us out in the wrong way. How many times do we watch the news where that sin comes to the forefront? People who have embezzled, people who have been abusive to children, people who have done these things. You know that new movie about the Glory in America, about human trafficking? Have you heard some of the crazy things that have been going on? People are going to the theater and they tell them when they get there, oh, it's all sold out at 3 o'clock in the evening. Some people said they only had 2 seats left. When they got in there, the theater wasn't half full, but they told them it was sold out. Then halfway through the movie, the electricity keeps going out. Isn't that amazing? What in the world's going on? Human trafficking, big business. Your sins will find you out. We must deal with them. We must deal with them, dear, in revival. Well, let's look at the last thing. Revival is not deceiving. You know, if a church goes to the time of having revival, then they're not trying to pull your wool over your eye. They're not trying just to entertain you. I think they're really trying to have revival. So many of our churches today are deceiving people right and left. They're deceiving people right and left. They call themselves a church. They call themselves a place of worship, but it's nothing more than an entertainment. It's nothing more than an institution. It's nothing more than an organization. It's not a church. When you look at what they're doing, they call their churches campuses. Listen, our church is a church. If we ever had another building that was somewhere else, it would become a church. It wouldn't just become a campus, a West Macomb Baptist church. God planted churches, not campuses. He has churches, and we are to be churches. And the church should not be deceiving. Revival is a time that there is no deception, that we come before God openly and publicly, and that we come to worship Him in that truth and in that spirit. Listen to what he says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. What did he say in that first verses in Luke 12:2? Whatever's covered up will be revealed. You can cover that seed up. And you may forget what you planted there, but when it comes up, it's revealed, right? What did it say in that Numbers 32:23? What did it say? Do you not know that your sins will find you out? You, God, will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap. It's just that plain. And revival is a time not to deceive you. It's to tell you that if you're sowing to this time of world, these things of the world, then you're going to reap those things of the world. You know, revival that does not deal with sin is a mockery to God. Don't even call it a revival. Just call it, we had us a good show. We had us a good week of entertainment. Don't call it a revival. If you're not going to get in the Word of God, if you're not going to have the Word of God preached, if you're not going to call upon people to repent, a revival without any repentance is a deceiving revival. If people are not told that sin is sin and that God is good. Somebody sent me a church sign the other day, wanted me to see what it said. It said it's too hot to change the church sign, so sin is bad and God is good, details on the inside. Because that's about as simple as it gets. Sin is sin. We cannot deceive people. They have to know what sin is. It has to be revealed. They have to be warned. Don't deceive them. Whatever they sow, they will mock. They will mock God if they do not repent of this sin. And he says, God's not going to be mocked. He knows. And that's going to come and be uncovered and be revealed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21, what did he say? For he made him who what? To be sin, who knew no sin, that he may make us what? Righteous of God in him. He took him who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, and he made him bear our sins. It didn't mean he made him sin. He took on him our sin. He hung on that cross with our sin. So that what? So that we could be righteous before God. So why do we keep mocking God? Every Sunday, if we go through a worship service and we don't preach that sin is sin, if we don't preach that it's really sin and call it what it is, if we don't preach that you got to repent of that sin, that the wages of that sin is death, and that Jesus is the only one that can pay the price for that sin, then brothers and sisters, we are mocking God. When it talks about in Isaiah 53 that he was that lamb that went before the slaughter, he opened not his mouth, by his stripes are we healed. Through his blood do we find remission of sin. And if we come to revival with anything less than revealing sin, if we come to revival with anything less than warning people of their sin, if we come to revival with anything less than telling people, don't be deceived. If you sow it, you're going to reap it. So if you sow to this world sin, you're going to reap a whirlwind. But if you sow the spiritual things of the world, you sow Jesus and his love for you, you will reap eternal life. This morning, it's time for revival. It's time to deal with our sins. It's time to go back to the Lord and find him and put him back on the throne and stop all this sin and carnage that's going through our nation and our world today. What about you? Won't you experience revival with us? He's revealing to you what you need today. He's warning you today. Don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively tonight, Lord. And I just pray today, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts in a mighty way, that revival will truly take place. I pray for our revival next week, Lord. I pray for Brother Gene. Lord, we know he's going to preach that word. He's going to sound the warning. And I pray that people would listen and turn from their wicked ways. Speak to our hearts now as we give you the honor and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.